The last day has arrived for some of the regulators, Wednesday, June 19, 1771. According to Tryon's orders, a unit called the Pioneers, used as rangers during the campaign, are sent out at 6 a.m. to open the woods near the place of execution, here. The army was ordered to form at 11 to escort the prisoners. The companies, per orders, march in an oblong square, the first line to form the right and the second line the left face. The artillery are placed in front and back. The prisoners and their guards are in the middle, and the light horse is placed on the flanks to prevent the mob crowding on the men. After they arrive, 6 men are reprieved to await the king's judgment, in compliance with the wishes of the army, the officers having recommended them. Harmon Cox, whose mill near modern Ramsar was a regulator meeting site and will play a role in the coming revolution, is one of the lucky 6. Among the unlucky 6 are Benjamin Merrill. He was captured at his home on the 1st by Edmund Fanning when the army was near the Yadkin River. Again, see our Tryon's March page. One at a time, each condemned regulator is made to stand on a barrel at this spot near the King Street of that time. The noose of a rope has been thrown over the branch of a tree and is placed around his neck. He is given a chance to say his final words, the barrel is kicked out from under him, and he jerks about until dead. His body is removed, and the scene is repeated. Merrill dies gallantly, with his wife and children watching. A single source, written 60 years later, claims one of them declares, "The blood that we have shed will be as good seed sown in good ground, which soon shall reap 100-fold." After repeating the complaints of the regulators, he accuses Fanning of being unfit to hold any office. Fanning orders the soldier nearby to kick out the barrel. That source says the regulator was James Pugh, but later researchers indicate it was almost certainly his brother Enoch and consider the story propaganda. 9 years later, Gates, the new commander of the Continental Army's Southern Department, arrives from the east down King Street to the militia camp that was probably right here on Thursday, July 13, 1780. He fires off letters to the Continental Congress and the governors of Virginia and North Carolina begging for supplies and troops. 8 days later, he marches the 1,400 militia south, turning left at Churton, to join the rest of the army at Harmon Cox's mill, the same place Tory leader David Fanning is based the following year. Come February, you are most likely also standing in the first camp of Cornwallis's roughly 2,200 men, plus camp followers, filling most of the area from here to the Yellow House and up the road in the other direction. But you do not see orderly rows of tents, because Cornwallis had them burned along with other supplies in today's Lincolnton, vainly hoping to move fast enough to catch the Continentals in the race to the Dan. People either sleep in the open, or perhaps build small shelters from bushes and tree branches. After learning the Continental Army has returned to NC from Virginia, Cornwallis decides this location is too vulnerable if Gates' successor Nathaniel Greene decides to attack him here. Drums beat the commands to pack up for the move on Saturday, February 24, 1781. The men form into columns, and the ones at this location march down King, wheel left in the intersection just past the courthouse, and march south out of town to the heights across the Eno River. See the Ford section below if you would like to visit a likely part of that campsite. Get ready to pause the audio. Walk directly across the grass from the hanging site and spot the trail into the woods by a small sign that says NC Society of the Cincinnati. Follow the trail to a fenced-in area. Pause. The first Hillsborough home of James Hogg, H-O-G-G, stood here. Hogg joined his brother in Wilmington from Scotland, spent a year in Cross Creek, now Fayetteville, and then settled on the 1,100-acre farm his brother bought for him here along the Eno. During the regulator riot, an assembly member wrote, "Two of the men at first came to Mr. Hogg's house, and insulted and abused him a good deal, and robbed him of his watch and buckles, and made him deliver up his keys. But he is able to arrange a guard with the leaders, and loses nothing else." Hogg became a member of the Transylvania Company that sponsored the excursions of famous frontiersman Daniel Boone into what now is Kentucky. Judge Henderson was a founder of the company. The company sent Hogg to the Continental Congress to press for the Transylvania region's recognition as a new colony, which was unsuccessful despite questionable tactics. When he tried to bribe Patrick Henry with Kentucky land in exchange for his support, an historian says, the Virginia governor practically threw him out of the office. Little is known of Hogg's other wartime activities except that he served on the local committee of safety responsible for area militia. He was captured here at the house during David Fanning's raid, but not held long. Hogg was later on the first Board of Trustees of the University of North Carolina and convinced Chapel Hill landowners to donate the original campus. A month after the Treaty of Paris was signed, ending the war, Patriot veterans from across the state meet here on Thursday, October 23, 1783, to form the North Carolina chapter of the Society of the Cincinnati. This group of former Continental officers was named for a Roman general who, like George Washington, retired from the military and went back to farming rather than using the army to take power. Please use the walking instructions under Roaming with the Raiders and then start its audio clip.